So we're continuing tonight. Welcome everybody, continuing tonight. Our learning of Nehemiah, Perek Daled. I want to thank everybody for their very extensive harot, some people. And I took a lot of joy with the discussions that were going on between people online, which was really very much closer to the way that we wanted to have a sense of chabura and people working together. Unfortunately, our numbers are severely limited, but at least getting a little bit of a sense of what it means. So, let us continue. What we saw last week at the beginning of the parak was the way we understood it, was that the city, in the way beautiful Lashon of Rashi, you'll recall, was the Prutzim, where the Jews who were Prutzim. This is everything to do with the sense of the difference in Purim of the Arei HaPrazot. And that Paruz and Prutzim are very related. In other words, if you're the Arei HaPrazi, then you're talking about not being protected and being wide open, and there's a greater sense of fear and vulnerability. And this was precisely what brought together on all four sides of the attempt of Nehemiah to create this new Medina. And I'm using Medina not in the modern sense, but in the broader sense, which subsumes the modern sense, the place which is outside of the center of the Ruach, that is outside of the Beis HaMikdash, and yet the extension into the Malchus aspect in which the Am finds itself connected to that center. We specifically use it that way for a much deeper meaning than simply the idea of having a state in the Medina. It's not exactly what Medina means at all. Just one of the ivutim of this idea of the state of Israel, which is built around the opposite of the concept of Medina, because it isn't built around the Beis HaMikdash at all, and that area is specifically the part that remains choruv. Here, we are dealing with a real process of Geula. And we know that that is the case because as Ramban tells us in Bechukotai, that the meaning of the Hitvadu et Avonam, Vet Avon Avotam Itam, Vet Avon Avotam rather B'ma'alam Asher Ma'alubi, V'af Asher Hochu Imi Bakeri, and then it says Ve'veti Otam Beretzoy Ve'yem O'az Hikana Levavam, which are its Te'azevim, and so on. And the Ramban points out that there's very strange, instead of having a response of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Hitvadu, and the Histarti Panayim, which we find later on, Kitavo, we seem to have a reassertion of the idea of Hester Panim after Klal Yisrael does Tshuva. And the Ramban's beautiful approach is B'daitis in the Psukim, is Eretz Oyvehim, does not mean Eretz Oyvehim in a different country. It means in Eretz Yisrael, controlled by Oyvehim. And you'll notice how this is so central to everything that Nehemiah is writing. I mean, it's marvelous, the theme that we've seen continuously. Oh, he keeps listing the Oyvim and the Mavazim and the idea of Histarti Panai. There, says the Ramban, is not the Hester Ponim in which they will fall into Ra'ot, Rabot, Vitzarot, but rather the idea is a Hester Ponim, the Lashon of the Ramban, the beautiful Lashon of the Ramban, is the Hester Pnei HaGeula. So we'll be in a process of Geula and we won't even know that we are in the middle of a Geula. It feels to us like a disaster. And that's very much what people feel today. It is so obvious to anyone with eyes that never has there been such a kirva, even Bisman the Beis HaMikdash in a sense, never was there such a kirva to ultimate Geula, and the sense of the entire world collapsing around Klal Yisrael and having the only centrality to mankind being Yisrael, where everything around it falls gradually into disrepair and into giving up and into the complete sense of hopelessness and cultural suicide that we see going on all around us, which is so shocking to us. It's basically as the Gemara says, that if somebody tells you that Chorva, Kesaria, Nivna, Yerushalayim, that you can believe. You can't believe that they're both built. It's as Klal Yisrael is built, everything else starts going downhill. So you can see, mamish people do not have a sense, what does it mean to be roya p'nei ha'geula? So in essence, what Nehemiah is coming to do is to get over that hump. And that's exactly how he starts his tefillah HaKadosh Baruch Hu back in the beginning, that even though it's true that they still have these avonos, and as Rabban says, the tshuva hasn't been shalema, but since they were already mitvadet avonam, so then ritzonam is lasot ritzonecha. And the fact is that they have started a process of geula in themselves, an internal process of tshuva and geula. The only way this is going to get anywhere is if it works in tandem. That as they become more mechuber to a vision of geula nafshit, they will also become more mechuber to the nature of your geula and the Mokam HaMikdash and the expansion into Medina. And if you don't help in that process, then it's going to be stillborn. And in the period of the Pekida, B'Alma will never be translated into Geula. With that Rabban's insight, the entire vision of Nehemiah, as we'll see in this Parsha, becomes so sharp and so clear when he goes back to Yitzias Mitzrayim to define and to discover precisely what the issues are that enabled that Medina to be built in the Midbar. And that's exactly, even though it appears here to be just logistics or just responses to external stimuli, in reality, Nehemiah's entire plan is remarkably the utilization of this stimuli. The man is an absolute genius in the way that he gradually increases the pressure and the people begin to feel the pressure, and he waits to the moment that he can act without anybody ever understanding the fullness of the sneakiness of what he is doing, which is just simply astounding. So for him to walk in and announce himself as a new Messiah, and this is our vision of Geula, is the last thing that he wants. Why? Because as we know, if this is indeed a process of Geula, and if it's Besof that we're Zocha to Geula, the whole nature of Besof is that it just comes out and emerges at the end of a process. All that he wants to do is point this process in the correct direction, and for that, he utilizes the guidelines of Moshe Rabbeinu himself and the Torah HaKadosha from the Zman Heyotenu La'am in the Midbar out of Mitzrayim. And so, as we saw, the entire idea is carefully calibrated to enrage stage by stage without getting things to be overly hot so that each stage can be dealt with. And so there was this first very sneaky, open letter, really, and he was sharing with all the pachot, and everybody found out about it, which is exactly what he wanted. His innermost plan, which was not to improve the position of the Jews as he had presented it, but which was indeed to create a new Am Yisrael and a Medina, he didn't share even with those closest to him. He pretended that this was a reaction to the sad situation of the Jews, that he needed to help them out. Whereas in reality, as Heichelu HaPrutzim Lehisatein, everybody on both sides of the fence, literally, began to respond differently. Because indeed, the Oivim and Sanvalat and Tuvia and so on, when they recognized what that meant, and that's why Rashi's pshat is so profound, when they recognize that psychologically people are beginning to feel that they actually belong here and that this is their place, this drove them crazy. But the only thing that they could do, obviously, was not to come out and declare open war against the representative of the Melech. That would have been a merida on their part and would have been met with disaster. That was the last thing they wanted. But what they did want to do is to be gorim to'az. We saw in to'ah means fatal mistakes. To'ah on many different levels. The simplest level, to create a surprise attack. The deeper level, to sow confusion. The deepest level is to arouse the sense that the Rambam uses it, to completely disrupt the broader strategy by exactly as he calls Avodah Zarah with this word. Avodah Zarah is the teutam of the world. It's that which turns away, which perverts plans. It's perversion. And that's the, literally, that's the word used by Bar Kappara for homosexuality. To'eh ataba. That's to'eva. So the idea of things that are completely off the wall, which Goyim translate into some type of homophobia or some sense of this given feelings that we have about certain behaviors, Bar Kappara explains that isn't the point. It's the fact that something is no longer straight. It's perversion is the meaning of Toeh Ataba. Don't attempt to explain it rationally. And therefore, that's what he wanted to do here as well. All I want to do is to make everybody believe that they're doing the best that they can for themselves, while at the same time, that should jive exactly with what I want them to feel about themselves. And thereby, make them believe that there's some gradual progress and that their positions will get better and that they, of course, as we see later on, as they pretend, are really on the side of the Binyan of Yerushalayim we saw before and want to help out Nehemiah, which we saw later. And all of this is part of this massive Torah. And that, as we even spoke about in the Shir this week, that the idea of the difference of the Lolachem Valano is particularly in this point, in the extent in which it is possible for them to participate not in the particulars of what is going on, but in the vision of the Melechus Machshevus of where this came from and where it's going. That's what they wanted to destroy. We don't mind if you do the work, but we do mind what that work is doing to you. And that is a much more subtle kind of attack. It's very similar to Amalek's attack, in which it isn't the specific damage that we will cause that's important. It's the fact that you lose your way that's important. The Hayesh Hashem B'Kirbenu Imayin, that's important. What could Amalek do? They couldn't even touch anyone that was surrounded by the Anan. So Niflatei Anan, doesn't that prove the exact opposite of what they're saying? But it doesn't, because it created the breakdown of the sense of the God-given invincibility and the vision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being with us and so on, and reduced us to being supplicants with the Yedei Moshe. So we saw that this resulted, in fact, in exactly what they wanted. We found that Yehuda coming for the first time and saying, look, we just can't carry on. We don't have the manpower to carry on. And as we saw, the Koshal Koach HaSapah, we don't have the power of the morale to carry. Our morale is broken. And we know what our Tzareinu, the way we understood it, I mean, it's, even though it's a Bachlokas here in the various Mefarshim HaMikra, certainly many of the Mefarshim learn that this Pasuk Vayom Tzareinu is part of what Yehuda actually said. So they articulated the fact that it's because of what we feel could happen to us because of Tzareinu is only intent on Vishbatnu et HaMalacha, and therefore they actually succeeded. Now, we saw, and this was the transition, in Pasuk Vav, that Vayikashir, I don't remember where we started, that's why I'm doing a stop, so I'm doing a little bit of a, I may be redoing things, I don't remember where we get up to. So in Pasuk Vav, Vayikasher Bao HaYehudim HaYoshevim Etzlam, Vayom Rulano Eser Pa'amim Mikol HaMekomot Asher Teshuva Eleinu. Now, this is a rather opaque Pasuk. It has many, many different approaches in the Mefarshim. And the most likely is a combination, just as we've seen throughout Nehemiah, a combination of the various levels, in which what is absolutely clear is one amazing thing, that the impact on Echelu HaPrutzim Leisater is a change in the morale of those who were outside of Yerushalayim, upon whom there was no melacha, and who had found the derech of their own survival in the connection that they would have to the goyim that were around them who were so threatening. And so their approach had been, look, you know, you got to get along with the neighbors and, you know, the local militia. They joined the local militia so that the behavior was the behavior of Jews, Beretz, Oyveihem. Exactly. So in the same way that the Jews in Mitzrayim, the Yavan Yitzchak Malo, took advantage of this psychology, which has become the Stockholm Syndrome, as you know, and it's actually been given a name, and it's not considered to be, by anyone who's aware of the psychological impetus, it's not considered by anyone to be an act of treachery. It's a simple psychological syndrome which you begin to identify with your captors and with the people that you are afraid of, and you begin hearing their side of the story, and it all makes sense, and suddenly that changed. So those Yehudim that were Yoshvim Etzlam, and indeed had been actually part of the army, suddenly became exactly what all of the Jew haters always say. They are really a fifth column. This is from the time of Mitzrayim through the time of the Nazis until today. The Jews are a fifth column, and that's exactly what they were. Because as they saw the Prutzim Lihisatem, they themselves sensed something is changing. And that something is changing that had been hidden from them. That was the Hester Pnei HaGeula. Every minor change in the Hester Pnei HaGeula creates a concomitant change in the Stockholm Syndrome, so that it becomes less and less a psychological demand to identify with the others and becomes more and more a possibility to come into a fuller understanding of your own roots and your own dreams and your own possibilities. And this was exactly what it was that the tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'nitpalel el Eloheinu represents. Because we know that later on, in the very same parasha over here, it says that the enemies recognize, that's the beginning of the next ptucha, Vayofer Elohim et Atzatam is the same Elohim to which the tefillah was aimed. And the Vayofer Atzatam was indeed this Gilui. The Gilui itself that allowed it to be completely open, as if we have spies and drones everywhere they are, drove the enemies absolutely crazy. So on one level, the Eser Pa'amim means there were constant warnings, and the constant warnings, of course, were not the same repetitive warnings, obviously. They were constant warnings of every single new move. And the way others of the Mefarshim understand it, each and every time they attempted something, we were already there. And this happens tens of times until they find, what the heck? This is the same kind of relationship that we found with somebody is spying on us. No, it isn't somebody that's spying. It's their God. They have this Elisha guy, and he tells them everything. That's exactly what was going on over here. For all they knew, God himself was coming down and had some of these little what do they call them? They use those drones with the helicopters. I forgot what they call them, quad somethings, you know. And everywhere they are, every word is being picked up by microphone. The Jews are listening in as if they hear. And that's exactly what the Avadim said there in Malachim. You don't understand. They're listening to everything. Now, obviously, if the only thing that they have on their side is the ability to hide what they're doing because of their own chashash of the danger of open attacks, this is making their lives impossible. Not just frustrated, but impossible. It means that they have to give up because they don't dare have an actual attack, which is why the entire tactic switches totally. It's a 180-degree switch, in which the only thing that we can do is, if you can't beat them, join them. And that's exactly what they attempt to do. Okay, we give up. So let us in, and we'll become part of it. And this is what he is celebrating. Now, that's only the beginning of the parak, okay? Because this is what he was waiting for. And this is the first sign of the incredible change, that the people that were once actually capable of identifying, it would be as if all of a sudden you have all the Israeli leftists all of a sudden joining up and saying, you know, we've got to do this. And that is happening. It's a fascinating thing that the people that identified with the enemies, as it becomes more and more evident that there's something unique about what's happening with Israel, they gradually move and see things as changing. So with this information, this tells us now how it was that Vayofer Elohim et Atzatam, with this information in Pasuk Zayin, Va'amid mitachtiyot lamakom mi'acharei lachoma batzchichim. So now this could be a reference to the words that Teshuvo Eleinu, some learn that means, wherever they will go back at night to rest, that's where we're going to get out and we're going to slit their throats. Or Asher Teshuvo Eleinu would mean, if you have to come out and fight us, here's where you're going to have to come out and fight us. Make sure you all gather together. Or Asher Teshuvo Eleinu could mean, this happened once and it happened twice, and every time said, don't worry, we'll give you the information next time we come back. So that every single time, there they were again. And so with each one of these new pieces of information, I was waiting for them. And therefore, va'amid, that's the meaning of va'amid. Amid means I was standing there waiting for them. Where I was mitachtiyot. Now, one meaning is mitachtiyot lamakom, meaning I moved my forces from underneath places to a better location. Weak, weak, weak. Better. Va'amid mitachtiyot lamakom mi'acharei lachom habatzchichim. With the identified mokom, lamakom, lehamakom, with whatever the identification of that makom was with each of these pa'amim, I already quickly moved my forces to a higher location in the tzrichim of the choma, which the Ibn Ezra learns literally means cliffs. Others learn higher places than where they had been before. But basically, it isn't only a question of lookouts. I was ready to shoot, and I did. And I organized people according to family. So as the Ralbach points out, that this is an amazing way to get people to fight, not for king and country, but for home and hearth. And therefore they will fight more powerfully. And so, va'ereh, so what does va'ereh mean? And maybe va'ereh means, like some suggest, I did an inspection of the troops. Boom, 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 boom. So Nehemiah's walking along, basically checking out. And then, when satisfied, ve'akum el achorim, ve'al askanim, ve'al yeter ha'am. And so I then tell everybody, okay, see, things seem to be going all right. And at Adonai Hagadol v'Anora Zechoru v'ilachamu alachichem b'nechem uvnotechem nishechem uvotechem. And indeed, fight for your homes, your brothers, your children, your daughters, your wives, and so on and so forth. Sounds very lovely. Now, suppose we learn it as being something much more meaningful. Suppose v'ereh actually means the same thing it does when it done Pinchas is vayar. It means that I saw that there was the moment that I had been waiting for. Now, what would that moment have been? So, we saw up until this time that there was a gradual change in the people's perception of their relationship to Yerushalayim and their responsibility to Yerushalayim. And this was part of what he felt, and of course we know today that that's a very strong psychological impetus, is that Ir Shechubrala Yachdav, that sense of the ability of the Tel Talpiot aspect of Yerushalayim, in which indeed it is Mechaber, for some reason Yachdav, now that doesn't mean that it has to be conscious necessarily, but that was his first step. That was basically the Beis HaMikdash that Ezra had built, and the commitment to recognizing that that Beis HaMikdash is to be expanded. Okay, what was Moshe Rabbeinu's next step? The most amazing thing was an army. And the army is built L'mishpechoteihem. Now that is an entirely different understanding. In other words, I see that the way that Klal Yisrael was built was by counting Kol Yotzei LaTzava, and it would be a tzava that would be first built around the nature of mishpacha, which then by definition would end up merging and emerging into something that was much bigger and that gave the people the feeling that for the first time, the Chamushim Yatzu B'nei Yisrael Meretz Mitzrayim means something besides the ability to protect yourself. It means that you have indeed a civilization, that you have a vision, that you have an assertiveness. That assertiveness was exactly what had been destroyed by the Hester Pnei HaGeula and the Bizoyon, which was driving Nechemiah crazy at the very beginning. The matzav of the Am, the psychological matzav of the Am, the way people wouldn't hesitate to speak about them, that a Jew was a piece of garbage, that had to change. And that started gradually, that change, and the brilliance of the Nechemiah to pretend that all I'm doing is building, you know, family units to protect their local areas. The va'ereh would then mean, I saw that the moment had arrived. And what would that moment be? The moment where we have an army. And what do when we have an army? We have a keeper of morale. And what does that keeper of morale do? He gets up and he calls everyone together and he says, Al tir'u mipneihem ve'al tar'tzu mipneihem et Adonai agadol v'anora zechoru. That's what he does. Now, until this point, there was no Adonai agadol v'anora, because we know that up until this time, we've been in the period in which the Nevi'im were malim, the words, the Gibor and the Noira. And the Gibor certainly has not been seen yet, because we still have the Goyim and they haven't been defeated. But the Noira, that concept of the Noira, that there should be a sense of his presence, the awesomeness that people are responding to, all of a sudden is back. People are looking at it. People are feeling themselves as being mechuber to Hashem Agadol V'Anora. For the first time, we can understand that that Nora does not have to be earth-shattering and planet-bashing. It's sufficient that the Nora'ut is indeed in the Hanhoga, that is, it's easy to see that there is underneath it all this amazing presence of Nora'ut. And therefore, now I tell you, remember him, Zechoru. And that's exactly what the Mashiach Bukhama says. And that was the moment that the Oyvenu recognized that it is over. We know no Dalanu, we know everything. It's not no Dalanu, a particular thing. And that Vayofer Elohim et Atzatam, there's been such a profound change that the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu among the Jews is changing, and therefore there's nothing that can be done. The moment they understood that, we had nothing to fear other than these little sorties and so on. We can handle little sorties. Once the psychology is cured, so then Vanashov Kulanu Elachoma Isha Malachto. Where up until now we had to worry about creating an army and so on, those days were over. We were now a fighting unit of nation. Vayi min hayomahu. What's the big deal, min hayomahu? You see that the sense here is on a massively important day, a day of great change, a day in which you can be ro'eh, a day in which you can for the first time say the words of a Mashiach Mechama that haven't been heard from the time of the Churban of the Bayis Rishon. And all of a sudden, we hear those words again in the words of Nechemiah. And from that day, Chatzin Arayosim Bamalacha, Vichatziam Machazikim, Varamachim, Vamaginim, Vakishatot, Vashiryonim, the Asarim, Achareko Beit Yehuda. Kol Beit Yehuda. The Sarim, Achareko Beit Yehuda, are together with the Ne'arim, which are probably, as most of the Mephoshim suggest, are the soldiers that had been appointed to go with them from the Melech, and who are very likely indeed Jewish kids that have been trained in warfare are his ne'arim that he can respond to as someone that is close to him. The nar is always the closest to the leader. And they are the ones that are professional soldiers at this time. Everybody else can go back to doing their work because of the fact that now we've got units that are going around, back and forth, protecting everyone, ready to gather, do battle if necessary. The entire psychological disaster of the Pirtza has now been changed. And even the ones who were Bonim Bachoma, not the Na'arim, not the Sarim, not Kol Beit Yehuda, the professional Bonim, the ones who were Nosim Basevel, they were there, there, weighted down by 500 pounds of stone. It doesn't matter. Ba'achat yodo oseh bamlacha ve'achat machzeket ha'shalach. They had the dagger that was easy. It wasn't a cherev that you had to pull all the way out, which obviously they couldn't do when they're in the middle of their work. But there they are with the shalach, which is a small dagger-like dual-faced sword. Va'abonim, who were able to use a cherev, because they could just lay down their things and grab a sword. They are with their cherev asurim amotnav, and they continue to be bonim. And the most beautiful part, vatokea bashofar etzli. And of course, that was the last piece in the puzzle that Nehemiah had seen. And that's the aselecha chatzotzrot, which as the Gemara tells us, after the time of the Churban, Chatzotzra became Shofar, and Shofar became Chatzotzra. And therefore, when he says that Shofar, tokeh ba-Shofar etzli, that means that he takes on now that idea of how to gather people together that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu himself, that sense of leadership, that ability to get people to respond, and it's the horn of Rohan, basically, in which that thing touches people's hearts to such an extent that anything could happen and puts fear indeed into the hearts of the enemy. Okay, I guess we'll have to continue next week for our next piece, but I think this gives us a beginning of real insight into Nehemiah's unbelievable strategizations, his planning, his insights, his clarity, and his absolute faith in each aspect of the stages of Geula that he was zeicha to learn from Maase Yetzias Mitzrayim and onwards. So Laila Tov, everyone. Thank you so, so much for coming. Please continue with your wonderful Ha'arot so that we can continue to be zeicha to understand more. Laila Tov.
Thank you.
Good night.